Welcome to Local Music Somewhere, where your voice is always heard. On our Beats radio and media streaming service for today's hot and trending topics. Now let's get into it.
Hello, my name is Chelsea Walsh and I'm your host here at Local Music Somewhere. You were just listening to a song called Catastrophic Dreams by Jason Scavone. And today in the studio, I am honored to have both Jason and his drummer, Jonathan Erickson, right here, right now. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to go ahead and warm up the audience and talk a little bit about who you are and all of that jazz. So let me dive in. Okay, I have written Jason and Jonathan. As a singer and songwriter and producer of North Carolina-based music, Jason and Jonathan have developed a unique sound that transcends genres, barriers, and seamlessly blending the best of indie, pop, Americana, and rock. Jason has been the frontman songwriter for The Noise 10 Records. He recorded My Repair with Brandi Carlile and performed with American Authors, Plain White Tees, 30 Seconds to Mars, to name a few. Along with all these accolades, Jason and Jonathan approach to music has been nothing short of amazing. Jonathan, we go back quite a few years, and you've always been such an amazing drummer, talent. I'm so honored to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Aunt Chelsea.
Thank you. Let's dive in. And where did this all begin? Where did both of you, have you guys known each other your whole lives? I feel like you should.
Since we were very young. Yeah.
You know, we went to the same elementary school.
Yeah.
We didn't know each other then.
Okay. So this goes, you guys have history.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Our first band was, well, you guys started without me. He started playing in a band without me. And then, I think our parents were at a Super Bowl party together, and
Jonathan asked
me at the band if I wanted to join the band.
Well, I saw you were wearing Doc Martens, and I was like,
"He's cool.
Yeah,
he passes the test.
This kid's got style." Yeah. So,
and what year was this in? Like, was this high school? Was this like a garage band?
No, junior high school,
middle school. Yeah, 92.
I was in ninth grade and you were in seventh. I'm 2 years old, so you were seventh grade.
Yeah, so I think it was would that be 92, something like that.
Gosh, we're that old.
Yeah,
we're all that
it
old.
Happened. It's okay. It happened.
It did. Okay, so you were like the cool middle school kid and you were a high schooler.
I didn't say he was the cool.
Well, we were middle school together, so we were both still in middle school. We did play on the soccer team together too at school. Well, I sat on the bench and he played.
No, we would sneak in the woods and smoke cigarettes while the rest of the team were running laps. That's what we did.
Come here, over here.
Yeah.
Oh, very impressionable. Yeah. Very impressionable young kids. So were you always a singer, Jason? Or
No, we played in the band together and we auditioned, which is funny to say, but like in middle school, we auditioned a bunch of singers, potential singers, and we just had all these people come over, and it was Jonathan and I and one of our other friends from the neighborhood. And so we had this close knit unit, and then we'd bring in these random people that were like, I'll sing. And nobody worked out. I think one of the guys was just punching you on the couch half the time.
Yeah. He tried to beat me up.
Yeah. And so I was like, I'll just sing. And yeah. I remember being, at another get together with my parents, and I was singing We're in the Money or something like that, like a show tune, and I heard a neighbor say, he's got a really nice voice, and that stuck with me. So I was like, I think I could do this. I'll be the singer.
Yeah.
And we had no other options. So it just
I'll be the latest.
It just kind of worked out. Yeah.
So Jonathan, you being the drummer, when did you start playing the drums? How did that all begin?
I started fairly late. I think maybe the end of eighth grade, ninth grade, but my dad's a drummer.
Right.
And so as a kid, I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing what my dad does. I wanted to be a bass player. But our neighborhood where we grew up, mm-hmm. whoever had the instrument, that's what you played.
Yeah. Right.
So Jason already had a guitar. My neighbor had a bass. And my dad had drums. And I was like, just by default, I was like, well, I guess I'm playing this. Yeah.
I think I heard from somewhere, and I could be wrong on this, so correct me, but does your dad see music in colors? Maybe I'm making this up. I feel
maybe back when he was in college, he saw
there was
colors.
He might have been under the influence.
There was
under,
yeah, just, he was doing
maybe
some stuff.
Maybe he was like drumming.
Yeah, yeah. Find a way to see music in college.
Yeah, and there's pink. Okay, yeah.
I don't think he does. I don't know.
Okay,
I'll all ask
right.
him.
He was also into science and math, right? Or am I just
no? He's
pulling out of thin air. I'm pulling out of thin air.
That's fine. He was an English major and a professor and. So his whole life is words and yeah. correcting people when they spell things wrong.
I or gotcha. No, that was what it was. That
grammatically incorrect.
Come off the paper when something's incorrect.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I digress. I digress. That's what it was.
When it's the most annoying thing in the world.
It's talent. It is.
All right.
Okay. So we began in seventh and ninth grade. I mean, that was when the band, what was this band called?
We had a bunch of names. I think the first name was Solemn Dirge.
Was named what?
You came up with that.
Solemn Dirge.
It was from the Doors, right? Was it from Jim Morrison or something? Wasn't it?
No, I think I just...
It's a sad, burning funeral fire.
I guess, really depressed.
That's the definition, right? It's a sad, burning funeral fire.
Dirge is a walk, like the walk you make.
Oh, I thought it was like a funeral fire.
A funeral pyre is what you're thinking of from the Doors. And our love becomes a funeral pyre. Come on, baby.
I stand corrected. You sound like my dad now. You sound like my dad correcting me.
We're driving. We get
it. I probably heard that lyric and then somehow derived.
Maybe that's what it is.
Then we were called Red Molly.
Okay.
Which was cooler.
Yeah.
Red Molly, which is actually...
Now, that is a drug story, but...
Yeah, that is.
It sounds like we won't
go into it though.
We had a bunch of names. Remora? Maybe Remora was our first band.
Remora was our first band name.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who came up with these? Were you like, all right, everybody put your name in the hat and then we'll or was we it just like
we'd be sitting around and just throwing ideas out. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember who came up with
each and one. You guys all wrote your own music or did you do like
we might have, I think we played some Spin Doctors at our first gig.
No. Our very first gig, we were in junior high school, and we played two Princes, that Spin Doctor song, I think six times.
That's the only song we knew. We booked a gig, and we figured...
You booked a gig in seventh and ninth grade.
At a friend's party. But we did book gigs at venues. We booked a gig at a venue in the university area, and I don't remember the name of the place. But we showed up, and the club owner didn't know that we were all... like getting dropped off by our parents, except for, I think you had a license. And he's like, well, you guys can't play here. This is a bar, you know? And he ended up making a Sunday night teen night. You remember that? So like every Sunday night they would host teenage bands, high school bands.
Aardvarks.
Aardvarks. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
Wow. And we played in high school, the Milestone, little coffee shops. I can't remember what else there was. Seven Seeds Cafe. Yeah. Which is no longer here.
Fat City.
We played. You know, so we played. Yeah, we were playing gigs from high school on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What would you tell anybody that wants to become a musician?
Don't.
No.
Stop.
Play
it.
Music, but maybe not. Well, not professionally.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
From two professional musicians.
We did say we'd like it. We just do it. You know, we don't know how to do anything else. No, it's. I mean, I guess just. I mean, it's a cliche. Just be patient. I mean, keep doing it. Keep at it. I mean, I'm 46.
Yeah.
And you're 44. It's like, we've been doing it since junior high school.
Right.
We still love it, you know, but it's...
So your advice would be patient?
Yeah, and maybe gauge your expectations.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you want to play music because you enjoy playing music and it's a passion and you're a creative person, you feel like you have something to say that's meaningful and that's important to you for... whatever the reason is, if it's just therapeutic or it's a legacy you want to leave behind, I think that's great. But I think, you know, becoming a professional musician, there's not a template for it.
There isn't.
You know, it's not like other professions that, you know, if I go to school for X number of years and I get this degree and this degree and I can look at, you know, what the job market's like ahead of time. And it's just not like that. It's really about luck, catching lightning in a bottle and knowing the right people, being... a cool person to hang out with sometimes, you know.
How has the landscape changed, do you think, from the time you were in seventh and ninth grade to now being 46 and 44? Like, I feel like so much in the industry has changed. You know, what are some of the biggest things that you've noticed or even advice? How would that, you know, how could you plant a seed into someone else that you're like, okay, well, maybe 10 years ago I really noticed this shift or...
Yeah, I mean, when we were first coming up, we were everything was physical, you know. Yeah. So we would go to other shows by if there was a band playing in town that we liked or we knew might draw a similar crowd.
Right.
We would go to the shows and we would get little burned CDs of maybe three of our songs with a flyer, a handbill that had all of our upcoming shows, and we would just put them on people's windshields.
Right.
So our thought was, we always leave gigs and we see those little handbills on our cars, but you just throw those away. A lot of times. I mean, some people might look at them, but a lot of people might just throw it away. But if you have a free CD on your windshield, you're at least maybe going to listen to it on your ride home.
Right.
Yeah. And so so everything was very, you know, we were just kind of like boots to the ground, like go get it and word of mouth. And I don't know. I feel like you can't do that now in the same way.
Nobody's got a CD player in their car.
Right. No, I was just going to say that.
You can leave it, but
I mean, everything's digital and social media based, and so we're learning that sort of landscape now as older gentlemen.
Well, that kind of brings me to my next, or one of my questions was like, what challenges are you faced with? Like, that could be definitely one. Just the keeping up with it.
That's
the changes.
I think you're always behind. I mean, speaking for us, like, we're older, we're now just trying to get better at like social networking and doing all this stuff, online stuff, which I'm totally ignorant on. But like, just learning that is, you know, a process, and so we're getting better at it. But
I mean, I definitely think it's interesting because artists who are aspiring to find a path in music, we've talked about this a lot, and it's the playing field has been leveled to some extent. Like, if you have the same capacity to reach all the people that name whatever A, B, and C famous artist,
right?
All these people are going to the same platforms for music distribution or social media. But now the sea is massive, right? It's like, when we were coming up, we could be the big fish in the small pond of Charlotte and then kind of exponentially grow from there. And it's just, you've got to find ways to break through the noise at this point. So I still think it's doable, but we're learning the social media side of things. I mean, and we have kids and we're older now. So our lens that we're seeing being creative and creating music through is a lot different than it was when we were coming up.
Yeah,
you know,
no, definitely.
Yeah.
You guys have something kind of new and exciting coming forth, podcast. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? It's called For the Birds.
That's right.
For the Birds, not Feed the Birds.
Not Feed the Birds, but we're For the Birds.
For the Birds, right.
You want to tell them a little bit about it?
Yeah, I was trying to think about that earlier. How did we decide to do it? I don't remember.
You had been talking about for a long time, let's do a podcast. And then... Yeah. Not that I didn't, I've always thought that was cool, but it's like everybody's doing a podcast, you know?
Right.
And this year I was like, let's do a podcast. And he's like, I've been saying that for years. So we just kind of were like, well, why not?
And it took a while for us to come up with the format too. And like, cause we threw out a bunch of ideas, but I think what we have is pretty cool, and it's music based. I mean,
it's music based. Okay,
yes,
cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not like you're going into business. We're not going to talk about a business model.
No, I mean, my original thought, and we've kind of modified this, was like, let's get people on and talk about music, and it could be informative and educational. And Jonathan's like, yeah, but only certain people want to listen to people talk about music in that niche sort of way.
All right.
Let's figure out how to reach people beyond that. And so we came up with this idea to talk to people in the music industry and outside of the music industry that have been impacted by music in some way. And they come on the show and they bring 3 to 5 songs that are the cornerstones to the soundtrack of their lives. What songs are meaningful to you? If you're a songwriter, it could be something you wrote. Maybe it's what launched your career or whatever. Yeah. If you're just a regular, whatever your field is, you know, people have music that somehow has been in the backdrop of their lives or has been meaningful to them. And so we want to talk about the music and analyze the music, but we also, more importantly, we want to talk to people about just whatever, you know, just a conversation. Yeah. It's just an opportunity to meet interesting people. And
I think it's my job to kind of steer them off track.
Yeah.
Like, they'll say something about a song, and then it goes into talking about junior high school or high school or a car or a girl
it's
or
organic.
A boy or
it's organic.
Music leads to everything.
It does
with us. So we're hoping that the people that come on will go down the path with us.
Yeah, no, I love that. Let me turn the tables. So what are your five songs? Like you were saying, you know, we bring guests on and this is like our anthem for our life, or like maybe name a couple for each of you. What would yours be, Jason?
For me, I know...
Are you going to do five? No, don't do five because I can't do five.
I can't do five.
No, just two. Two or three.
Two songs. One Too Many Mornings by Bob Dylan would be on there. And geez, that's a... You name your first one then, and I'll come back.
The Boxer. Yeah.
The Boxer?
Ah, The Boxer. Yeah. Really?
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say... maybe it's something by the Beatles. I mean, I don't know. Or maybe a John Lennon song. Maybe, I don't know.
This I'm really putting difficult. You guys on the spot.
This is too difficult.
One in one is great.
One in one, yeah.
One is one.
Yeah, but
unless
I mean,
you have another one, Jonathan. I don't know. I don't want to cut you off. I mean, you're on a roll.
I like Yesterday by the Beatles. Yeah. That's pretty, which I think was voted like number one song ever written. I think somewhere. I just made that up. I don't know.
No, you didn't.
It might be.
I think it was.
It might be the best pop song ever written. So
yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's got everything.
Yeah. So. Jonathan, for those of you that are just listening, Jonathan has sleeves. He's like pretty much covered in tattoos. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a little bit about them. I love body art. I think it's so mm-hmm. cool. Tell me about the one on your arm that has a bunch of words. What does it say?
It says, love is a funny thing, something you cannot see. Some it hits, some it misses, but it knocked the breath out of me. My grandmother wrote that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a beautiful node. Did she write it to who?
She just wrote it to herself. She was kind of like a pack rat. Not, I wouldn't say hoarder, but she would write down Bible verses or just thoughts or poems. And when she passed, my mom and my sister went over to her house to clean out the closet and they found a box full of these little scraps of paper and this was written on it. And I have it framed in my house.
It is such a beautiful thing. And
thank you.
It's gorgeous. Do you ever draw inspiration? Have you ever like written a song about from any of her like
words? No, but that's a good idea. That would take a lot of weight off.
Yeah,
of me.
I think so.
Yeah.
Honestly, just saying.
I'll have to go back in that shoebox and see what I can find.
Yeah, do you still have it?
No, I don't. I think my mom, maybe my sister has it.
Yeah, Shelly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Anyways, well, I for those of you that are listening, you can't see it. But anyways, if you can see it, they're very, very, very
cool.
I'll
take my shirt off if you want me.
No.
Head to toe, this man's covered.
The man is covered from head to toe. Yeah. What about you? You have a...
I just have a couple little guys here, you know, nothing impressive.
Nothing as cool as Jonathan. Yeah. Right,
I don't know about that. I have a lot of bad tattoos as well, so...
Well, can I just show...
Funny story about this.
I picked that one out when we were... Sorry, I'm off the mic. I picked that one out on his 18th birthday for him.
That is not great.
No, it's not.
What is it?
It's an angry man. I don't know
what the hell it is. I have no clue. I was 18.
It was one of the, you know.
Just flash art.
It was the flash art on the wall. And I was like, get that one. He said, all right, cool.
Yeah. Okay. What's next for you guys? Do you have any new music coming out? Where can we find it? Tell me a little bit about it.
We wanted to, so we put out Catastrophic Dreams last year and we wanted to follow it up with a bunch of music. So we just put out, did a cover of I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones, which is like a stripped down acoustic version. And we have another song coming out on April 12th, I believe, called Surrender. A new song. So we've got a bunch of new material, but we're just releasing singles right now. So working on a lot of new stuff.
Very cool. How do we find it, Jason?
Everything is on all the streaming platforms.
Everything.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Spotify,
everywhere.
Apple Music, all over. So
all right. Perfect. We are going to take a short break. And when we come back, Jonathan and Jason and I are going to play a game called Name That Tune. Check us back. Welcome back. We are here and we are about to jump into a game that I created called Name That Tune. Now, it is not original. I get it, but we are going to go ahead. We have five songs, okay? So the premise of this game, guys, is I'm going to play a few seconds of each song. If you get the song correct, meaning you name the artist and the title, you will hear this sound. Cue it, Johnny. Wait. And if you get it wrong,
was that a race car?
I don't know what the It was like a gasp. Gasp. Okay. Like, oh my gosh, you got it right. Okay. And then if you get it wrong, smart. Johnny, slap.
I know
it's like
that
a
sound.
Whip.
I
it's
know.
Like, yeah, you yeah. got it wrong.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Far too familiar with that sound.
How?
Okay, so are you guys ready to play this game?
We'll see.
I hope that you get at least one right. I think you will. Okay, so Johnny, let's go ahead and play the first sound.
Oh, in my mind, I'm North Carolina.
It's James Taylor. Love it. In my
Do you know any like facts about this little song here? Because I just pulled a bunch. I'm sure you do.
On this one, I actually don't. I know facts about Fire and Rain, but yeah. I don't know any facts about this.
I don't.
He wrote this song in England when he was recording a label with Apple Records, and it was reflecting his feelings on being homesick.
Hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I could have guessed that, I guess.
You guys are like one for one already.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Can we maybe do a little more challenging? I don't know if these are going to be... These might just be too easy. Johnny, let's cue up the second soundbite.
Country Roads?
Yes. Look at you.
Is it all James Taylor?
Wait, did we get that sound the first time?
No. We get two now. Johnny, play two.
Play it again.
I need my accolades.
Thank you.
There you go. All right. Very good, guys. Maybe I made these a little too easy. Do you know anything about the song or like its origin?
I feel think he wrote it while walking down a country road.
How'd you come up with that?
I don't know.
How did you know that?
That is bizarre.
That is so original.
Wow. No, I have no idea.
No, actually, so he wrote this song in the wake of checking himself into a hospital for like severe depression.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, he had his own little, you know, troubles, but he came out the other side and he's still here with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I found that interesting. All right. Cue up this, the third one here, Johnny.
I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand.
You got it.
Okay. I want to hold your hand. Okay, very good, guys. I think we should all just like start a band together. Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Okay. Do you know how many weeks this song was on the top charts in the UK?
Oh, no.
Geez. I'm going to say it's between 1 and 30.
Let's say 24 weeks.
Ooh, very, very close, Jason.
27.
Lower, Jonathan.
19.
We're going to say 21. I'll give it to you. After three guesses. And all right. What else? Let's see. We have two more songs. Do you want to go ahead and play the next soundbite?
That's all we get.
Oh, what the hell was that? I was going to say Enya.
Is that you too? Was that a...
It's just a drone.
All right, we'll give you five more seconds.
Okay, five more seconds.
I have no clue. I'm stumped. Let's listen to it. I don't know. It makes me want to meditate.
Hold on, wait a minute. That's Journey. Oh, Sarah... what's the name of that song?
Is Sarah.
That, Sarah? Is that Sarah by Journey?
It is not.
Oh,
okay. Oh. Ooh, spank it.
Let's man.
What was that?
Gone. What was
this
that?
This was Copperline by James Taylor.
Oh, God. Okay.
There's no way I would have gotten that.
I'm just going to guess James Taylor. On the
damn.
Next one.
Yeah. No, James don't. Taylor don't. Yeah, can you believe that? It's, wow. It's a tough one. I'm glad that I at least got you on one of these...
You stumped us. That's good. That
good.
Was a good
one. And you guys have been musicians your whole life. So it's like for me to get one and you to get three, that's pretty good.
It is, yeah.
All right. Exactly. Okay. And the next and the last final soundbite we're going to play for you right now. And we're just going to hold on a minute. We're getting it queued up.
Okay. You want to say
the Beatles?
Yeah. All You Need Is Love.
You got it. It's so funny because when I was
thanks, Jenny.
When I was pulling out the sound bites, I was like, this is a national anthem of some kind. Yeah. And I was like, this is going to be too hard. So the Copper Line one, I thought was very hard.
It was going easy on us.
Is it Enya? You know? But anyways, yes, you got it. All You Need Is Love. We all need a little love here, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That song is probably, honestly, if I had an anthem, that would be it. Yeah. Remember we were talking about like our songs. Anyways, I think that
would be mine. It's a good one.
It is, right? Yep. It's just got such a good message. I'm so excited. So next, we are going to actually listen to one of your original songs. It's called Old Friend. And you guys are going to perform it after we take this short little break, and you're going to get all set up. And for the first time in the R-Beats radio station, we are going to have a drummer in the studio, which is so exciting. I mean, Jonathan is the drummer, but like he's actually going to play the drums. So tune on in. We'll be right back.
Drum. Just a drum.
Did everybody get their refill on the popcorn? Because I did. And now that my stomach is full of that popcorn, we're going to go ahead and listen to this song, an original piece by Jason Scavone, and Jonathan will be on the drums, called Old Friend.
Drive through these streets that I don't recognize. A city in ruins to build these high rises. And I'm still out in search of the voice I hear in my mind. I don't know if I will ever find it. Old friend, do you keep me? somewhere. Old friend, do you keep me in your heart the way I keep you in mine?
Amazing!
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming into the studio today. It was such a pleasure and honor, and I cannot wait to see what comes and what comes to this new podcast. So anyways,
thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
It's been so awesome. Thank you so much. All right. This is it for Our Beats Radio on Local Music Somewhere. I'm your host, Chelsea Walsh. I hope you have a blessed day. Thank you.
Always remember, with you, we are. Our Beats podcasting crew wants to take this moment to thank you for listening to Our Beats Radio and Media Streaming Network.